This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have today a conversation with Luis Ruiz, Associate Pastor at Shields Boulevard Baptist Church. We want to welcome him today to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you here, and I drive by Shields Boulevard Church all the time, going to visit my uncle and keep up a little bit
sure.
As far as what's happening at the building. I haven't been over there. I need to get over there, but I grew up in that area, so. Could you tell us a little bit about your role at Shields Boulevard and the ministry that's taking place there?
Sure. I am the associate pastor, but I'm also the Hispanic ministry pastor.
Uh-huh.
We have started a ministry geared towards uniting both the Spanish-speaking side and the English-speaking side. We started this project about a year ago under Pastor Gary Boswick.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the opportunity to start our ministry there. Our goal is to reach second and third generation in that neighborhood.
Right.
That neighborhood predominantly is now a Hispanic neighborhood.
Right.
The layout has changed dramatically, mm-hmm. so we are gearing towards having a ministry that caters to both the English speaking and also to the Spanish speaking. So, it's a rough neighborhood, as you may already know. It's a neighborhood that has gone through several changes,
mm-hmm.
but, God has put us in that place, so we're going to work the neighborhood until we accomplish what God has put in our hearts to do. So,
Are you seeing responsiveness to the gospel there where you're ministering?
Well, it's been a slow process. I will say that we have had, our up and downs.
Mm-hmm.
There is times when we first started the ministry,
mm-hmm.
it was something new to the neighborhood, so, a lot of people are very responsive to it.
Right.
As the time has gone by, and not to mention the coronavirus also has played a big role
right.
in
yes.
diminishing our numbers. But, Lord willing, now that we have an opportunity to be vaccinated
mm-hmm.
and all the vaccines are rolling out constantly, mm-hmm. we are expecting to be able to go out and reach out to the neighborhood like we first started out.
Right.
I mentioned to you earlier that we are starting our revival
mm-hmm.
this Sunday, so this will be a good beginning stage for us to be able to reach out to the neighborhood. We are going to concentrate mainly in the areas around Shields Boulevard Baptist Church. So,
okay. Now, you're like a lot of our pastors are bivocational.
I am.
And do you find that the ministry challenges, and how do you strike a balance between the ministry challenges and your vocation?
Well, we started a company, Elite Staffing and Services, which we do the hospitality industry.
Uh-huh.
And we started out as a small company, and the Lord has been very good to us.
Uh-huh.
So we have actually grown to be a pretty good size, formidable company now.
Right.
We are the leading in our industry.
Wow.
So to balance that, it takes a lot of effort, both for me and my wife. I have been very blessed to have a tremendous wife
mm-hmm.
who has continues to work in the ministry alongside with me. She is my backbone when it comes to the ministry side.
Right.
Because sometimes the company takes a lot of my personal time to be able to do all the things that I have to do. My wife and I have worked out where she is constantly on top of our, our congregational duties, as you might speak. So.
Right.
I'm very fortunate to be able to have a wife who balances my time at work and my time in the ministry. So
yeah. Now back to the church area in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
There's like you said, it's transitioned to a very strongly Hispanic neighborhood.
Right.
And that I assume if it's like the rest of the state, it's 60% of those folks are the second and third generation English speakers.
Right.
And you mentioned it's a rough neighborhood.
Right.
And I think when we say that, we're talking about drugs and crime and things like
yes.
that. You have a unique credibility.
Sure.
In that area.
Right.
That is part of your testimony that makes your ministry, I would assume, much more effective to people who are in those areas that have those background issues, challenges, temptations. Could you tell us a little bit about your story, how you came to know Christ?
Sure. I'm going to start from the beginning.
Okay.
So, it makes perfect sense to you. I was born in El Paso, Texas. I was born from a family of, my dad is from Chihuahua, Mexico. My mom is from Durango, Mexico. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, who was a politician in Delicias, Chihuahua, he decided that it was the best thing for us to be able to be raised in our culture. So we did the opposite of what most people do. We were born in El Paso, and we decided to go live in Mexico. So I grew up as a Spanish-speaking kid only. I had a great childhood. I learned a lot of different things. I learned the value of being able to work with your hands, be creative. I didn't have mm-hmm. to have a PlayStation or a Nintendo or mm-hmm. anything like that. We were just the kids that made up our own games. Mm-hmm. Had a wonderful childhood. At the age of 11, my dad decided that it was time for us to come to the United States. Mm-hmm. I arrived here in 1985 mm-hmm. As an 11-year-old American citizen who spoke not one word of English.
Right.
So it was a very challenging thing. But as you know, when you're 11 years old, the world is nothing that you cannot conquer at that age.
Well, right. And children have this propensity to learn language quickly.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. I had a tremendous friend. As the moment I came in, I had a friend. I still remember his name. His name was Mark. He was very instrumental to me to be able to learn English. I was a baseball player at the time, so baseball was my way in to be able to associate with other kids. So I started to pick up on the language fairly quickly.
Yeah.
I came into the sixth grade at Jackson Middle School.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jackson Middle School. It's right in the heart of the South Side. It's on. Through baseball, through a school, I had a tremendous ESL teacher who really worked with me, and I was able by my seventh grade. I was very fluent in English, so it didn't take me long.
Right.
So that helped me later on down the road because eventually I became an ESL teacher for Columbus Elementary. So it just kind of unfolded where I went back and taught the kids that were in the same situation as me.
Yeah.
You know, after we came to the United States, I come from a Christian family. I was raised in the Baptist church.
Yeah.
The first church that I ever attended was a Spanish ministry off of Lindsay Baptist Church. South Lindsay.
Yes. I was saved at South Lindsay.
Well, yeah. 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 South Lindsay Baptist Church was the first church that I've ever set foot in once I came to the United States.
Right.
So there was a Spanish ministry there, and the Spanish pastor was a guy named Pastor Tulio Yanez.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going to play a role later on down in my testimony.
Okay.
That's the reason why I mentioned him. So I grew up in the church. I just like any other kid at that time, I really didn't understand the things of the Lord. I'm not quite sure I was very interested in the things of the Lord. I was just there for the cookies and the Kool-Aid every Sunday. So, and be able to do my paintings and hang them on the wall and do all those things. So,
right.
So I grew up. I went on to U.S. Grant High School. Mm-hmm. I'm a general. So I graduated from U.S. Grant High School. I started to work as an ESL teacher at Columbus Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
My assignment was with the third grade students. You know, that was a very challenging situation because that's when they mm-hmm. transitioned from being little kids to being young adults.
Right.
So life was good. Everything was working out right. I married the girl that I wanted to marry. We started a great marriage. Everything mm-hmm. was on the right path. I kind of got away a little bit through the course of my life mm-hmm. from going to church and doing all the church activities. In 1997, I would say probably about 94, my life took a turn to the worst.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was a restaurant manager. And I remember one day being about to close the restaurant, I had a visitor that came in and into the restaurant, and one of the waitresses said to me, "Hey, Louise, there's a guy here looking for you." And I didn't realize that this guy would change the course of my life forever. So As I'm about to close the restaurant, I approached this guy, and I'm like, hey, you know, how you been? He was like, I'm doing well. He goes, if you have an opportunity, I want to talk to you about some business that I got going on. Unbeknownst to me, I know nothing about what the drug world is. I don't know anything about the crime world. I'm living what I call a pretty straight, narrow life. Mm-hmm. I'm working. I'm being a husband. I'm being mm-hmm. a son. I'm doing all the right things.
You're not using drugs at the time?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm responsible in my job. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of future at the chain of restaurants that I was working. So everything was going the right way. Mm-hmm. I never thought that just one little encounter, which now looking back, that's how the devil kind of came into my life.
Right.
You know, and
so, economic opportunity.
Right.
Right.
Right. So he came in and we set up a time. He said, you know, I would like to spend some time with you and I want to talk to you about some things that I got going on. So, you know, of course, I go to my wife after I leave work and I say, hey, listen, I saw so-and-so. She said, oh, no, I don't want you to talk to him because I've heard that he's involved in a lot of different things that are not legal and they can get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I said, but it's me. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not going to get myself in trouble. I'm not interested in any of that. And I said, plus, I don't think none of that is true. Well, as luck would have it, he would pull up at my house on a stretch limo, you mm-hmm. know. So that was a sign that things were not normal. So, anyways, to make the story a little bit shorter, I got into a friendship with the guy who I went to school with. I went to school with him at Jackson Elementary, so I hadn't seen him in several years until I saw him back at the restaurant. Little by little, he started to work me into the business, and little by little, I got myself more involved. Then I became the money handler. Then I became a distributor. Then I became a drug user. Mm-hmm. So with all these things in place, my wife at the time decided this is not what we signed up for. This is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. So therefore, we are going to call this an end to this marriage. Mm-hmm. As I got divorced, my life continued to spiral out of control. My drug use got a little bit heavier, mm-hmm. and I started to, you know, really just, you know, I blame the depression, you know. Oh, I'm depressed because my wife left me, all that.
Right.
But, you know, that was just an excuse for me to continue to live the life that was spiraling me out of control. Mm-hmm. It came to the point where I was so addicted to cocaine that I just never thought that there was anything that I could do mm-hmm. to be able to liberate myself from that drug habit.
Right.
So as I continued to, as my life continued to spiral out of control, mm-hmm. I got myself more involved in the life of crime. More and more and more, there was more crime added to my life. There was a lot more things to the point that I didn't know how deep my involvement was in all the drug world, because sometimes you just don't know, you know, who you're associating with or who's the people around you. In 2012, October the 5th, I got arrested for first-degree murder. Mm. So I... you know, I it was a murder case. It was very talked about in the city of Oklahoma City. It has so much media coverage. I think, according to what they say, it had the only case that had more media coverage than me at the time was the Timothy McVeigh Oklahoma City bombing. Mm-hmm. So when I came to Oklahoma County Jail, arrested on a first-degree murder charge, I was separated from the population, and I was put in
solitary?
No, it's called administrative segregation.
I see.
So because of the high volume of media coverage that my case was mm-hmm. carrying, you know, at the time when I remember me sitting on my cell, I thought to myself, there for a second, I thought, how in the world did I get to this place? Mm-hmm. How did I end up in this place? And you know, looking back at all the decisions that I had made in my life and, you know, and I was just, you know, a little kind of shocked that I was sitting there facing, you know, at the time it was a very serious case. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, there wasn't a whole lot of options for me. It was either a death penalty case or it was going to be a life without parole case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I remember sitting there one day and I heard a knock on my door. and a green Gideon's Bible was slid under my door. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I opened up the Bible. I started to read it. You know, I felt like, you know, this was something that was healing to me. You know, I remember back going to church and spending time with my family at church. But, you know, I like I said, it wasn't something that I took very serious as a child. I never really thought that, you know, I was going to need God at some point in time in my life.
Right.
So God started his work right there in Oklahoma County Jail. I started to read this Gideon Bible. You know, the word was really speaking to me. I read it 7 different times. You know, the New Testament, I don't know if you've ever seen the Gideon Bibles.
Yeah, I have had one of those. I can't locate it now.
So, you know, that was something that I read 7 different times. You know, I really felt like the Lord was doing, you know, amazing things in my life. And I thought, you know, this is probably going to be it. I read it. I really got into the Word. You know, I really started to really understand some of the things that the Lord was needing out of me, and I understood some of the things that I could expect from the Lord. Mm-hmm. The first guy who ever spoke to me about the Bible and the Gideon's Bible was a guy named Charles. He is the associate chaplain at Oklahoma County Jail. Mm-hmm. Jorge Vara, which is the chaplain at Oklahoma County Jail, those two guys were very instrumental to me to be able to bring me the Word, and you know, they gave me workbooks, you know, that I could fill out and reference to the Bible.
Bible study workbooks.
Yeah, Bible study workbooks that they use in county jail. So, again, these people will eventually play a big role in my testimony. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really started to believe that, you know, the Lord was going to give me another chance. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, you know, because, you know, I knew that I had zero involvement in this case. But because of the media coverage, you know, they were painting a picture of me that was just not true. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the media was very adamant about, you know, trying to paint me as a monster and this and that. And mm-hmm. But I knew, you know, my situation, I knew that there was nothing that they could, you know, prove against me because I was, you know, not involved in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I could do at that time was just be patient. You know, in a murder case, it takes a lot of time. Right. It's not something that gets cleared overnight.
The wheels of justice turn slowly.
Very slowly when you're in a situation like that, yeah. Which did a lot of good to me. Looking back now, I can see the grace of God continuously working in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was times for reflection. There was times for, you know, maybe some meditating, you know, and on the Word. And so I had an opportunity to do a lot of those things. So I got released. You know, the state of Oklahoma could not prove a case against me. They cited this insufficient evidence case, maybe. So yeah. I got released. You know, I came home and I said, you know, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to serve the Lord. But as many of us go through these things, especially in the prison system, we get out and then the world catches up with us again. Mm-hmm. So little by little, the world caught up to me again.
Same contact started coming back around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, same contact started coming back. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people were, you know, so happy that I was out. And, mm-hmm. you know, and their reward for me was to, hey, you know, you want to come, let's have a party for Louise and let's do this, let's do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my life, once again, started to spiral out of control again. Mm-hmm. I was arrested a total of 17 times in mm-hmm. Oklahoma County Jail. You know, I was so good at booking myself in that, you know, I didn't even need any help. I could tell everybody what the process was. You know, it was a joke in the county jail because anytime somebody would come in, the COs, the correctional officers, would open the door and say, hey, Ruiz, will you explain to them what the process is?
So way, they don't ask like it. Staff orientation.
So I was the orientation guy. I was like, hey, listen, man, this is the process that you're going to have to go through. So quit calling people on the phone. You're not ready to be bonded out yet. I'll tell you how that goes. So I was kind of like, every time they saw me there, they were like, hey, well, great. We got our extra staff person on hand. So, you know, once again, you know, my life continued to spiral out of control. You know, I tested different drugs. And in 2014, I got shot in an attempted robbery. Mm. You know, I was just very, very small amounts of space between the 38 bullet that shot me in the back between my spinal cord, which would have left me paralyzed or would have eventually killed me. Mm-hmm. My voice didn't always sound this way. This was part of all the tubing that they put in my mouth to try to keep me alive. So my voice was not always this deep, but, you know, I guess it's
works
a good thing.
It works for our purposes here.
Right. So
great radio voice.
Well, you know, and then not only that, it also, when I'm preaching, it keeps people attentive to me because they want to understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, you know, it when I raise my voice, people kind of jilt a little bit. So anyway, so with that being said, I ended up being shot. You know, the Lord once again gave me another opportunity. You know, I my family were, you know, my mom and dad were in constant prayer for me. There was a lot of people praying for me at the time that I didn't even know or had even met, you know, because my mom and dad continued to go to church. So they were continuing to put me in the prayer list.
Right.
And to me, I was like, because my mom would always say, well, we're going to put you in prayer. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You know. So forward a little bit more, eventually my life of crime caught up to me. Judge Elliott at Oklahoma County Jail decided that, you know what, I've had enough of you. I'm going to go ahead and send you to prison. Mm-hmm. So I was handed down a 7-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I was handed down a 7-year sentence. I started my life in the prison system. Being a guy that was always trying to make something happen, I got into the prison system. My life of criminal activity didn't end in prison. I actually came in and picked right back up where I had left in the world. So, there was a lot of things that I was doing, you know, inside of prison to generate money. So one day, after all these things that I had got myself involved with, a guy came and said, hey, listen, man, we want to get involved in the business. We want to be able to have, you know, our own. So I said, I don't just make decisions on my own. Let me talk to the rest of my people. You know, when you're in prison, you have to make a choice. You know, you have to make a choice of, you have to choose a side that you're going to participate in, and they become like your family. So, you know, so I was part of a group. I was part of the group that made the decisions for the group. One day a guy decided to come and say, hey, you know, we want to be part of the business too.
Mm-hmm.
I got together with the rest of the guys, and I said, listen, we have an opportunity to do other business. So I told the guy, I said, well, where could we meet at a neutral site? So they said, well, let's go meet at church. So, I had never been to church before. Right after 6 o'clock count, we decided to meet at church. And when we went to church, the pastor that was there giving the—
Church being the chapel at the prison.
At the prison, yes. Yeah. And he came in, and he said, you know, he was preaching and doing his thing, and, you know— He came and he was preaching and said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me that somebody's going to change their life today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, I'm trying to do what I need to do, and I'm trying to listen to some of the things he's saying.
Trying to work a deal. Back of the church.
Right. And listening to, you know, not really listening, but acting like I was. So there was no, you know, the correctional officers know that this is the place where business gets handled.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to see if we're paying attention to the preaching or we're paying attention to the guy next to us.
Right.
So the preacher is continuing to say, you know, the Lord is going to change someone's life today. So he comes to me and he says, the Lord is going to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't think you know who I am. I don't think you know anything about me. I said, I don't think the Lord wants anything to do with me. He said, well, I'm just telling you that the Lord is telling me that he's going to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I appreciate all that. I said, but please don't point at me in front of all my friends. I said, you know, because this is going to be an issue for me. Sure enough, leaving that place, everybody started calling me the pastor. You know, in the yard, it was a joke in the yard that I was going to be the pastor. And, hey, remember that preacher said, Louis is going to be a pastor? Da, 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 da. So, you know,
sound like the guy was prophetic.
Right. So fast forward 3 months down the road, the guy says to me, hey, listen, man, we want to work out a deal with you again. Is that something we can do? And I said, sure. So I looked at my cousin who lived in front of me, and I said, hey, do you think that guy will be there again today? He said, I don't think so. They're volunteers. What are the chances of him being there, right?
Right.
So I said, okay. So I go to this chapel again. As I get there, sure enough, here's this guy again. I was like, oh, man. I was thinking, this guy's going to start this whole, you're going to be a pastor thing again. So he comes up to me and he says, so are you ready? And I said, listen, man. I said, let's have a talk, you and I. So I pulled him to the side and I said, I would like for the Lord to change my life. I said, who wouldn't? I said, look at where I'm at. Right. Look at my situation. I said, who wouldn't want to be changed? Who wouldn't want to be serving the Lord? I said, but I said, unfortunately, this is, you know, there was a saying in prison, these are the cards that you're dealt with. You just got to learn how to play them. So I told him, I said, you know, this is where, obviously, where he wants me. I said, this has been my life for the last 20 years. He said, no, this is not what the Lord wants you. The Lord is going to do something great with you. He's going to use you in the ministry. And I said, all right. I said, you know, I appreciate all that. I said, I'm glad you feel that way. I said, I don't know why you feel that way, but I'm glad you do. I said, but I'm going to tell you again, please don't do that in front of the guys. I said, because the last time you did this, I said, I had to deal with a lot because of your pastor thing. I'm just telling you, Luis, God is going to make you a pastor. I said, okay. So, you know, go back to my cell, and I started to really think about what he was saying, and the Lord came to me in a very unique way. You know, I started to have like a panic attack, and I started to think about my life, and I started to think about all the things that, you know, I had gotten myself involved in, how I got to that place, and, you know, I decided that, you know, Lord, if this is what you want to do, then, you know, I'm going to be at your service. One of the things that I had to do was clean up my act right away, you know, so I decided to step away from all the dealings that I had inside of prison. I gave all that up. I did not involve myself with any more.
And that probably wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy just because of the fact that when you get involved in such a deep way, there's people you have to answer to.
Right.
And there's repercussions behind you leaving all this.
Right.
So, you know, we had an opportunity to meet with everybody. And in that meeting, I told everybody, I said, listen, I'm going to leave all this behind. I'm going to follow the Lord. And one of the guys in the back said, I told you that preacher man was going to do something to Luis. I knew it. He says, they always do something crazy at church. You know, lo and behold, you know, I believe that, you know, church does, you know, change lives through the word of God. You know, that's how the Lord came to my life, was just a simple meeting at a simple place. It had nothing to do with him, had everything to do with the worldly things.
Right.
But yet God had a tremendous plan for my life. So now I am a member of the Gideons, the first Bible I ever saw.
Yeah.
Now I'm a member of the Gideons family. I've gone back to Oklahoma County Jail, no longer as an inmate. Now I go and I've been there three different times passing out Bibles to the inmates.
Right.
I've had an opportunity to visit some of the places where I used to live at. And Jorge Vara, which I mentioned earlier in my testimony, he has been very instrumental to me. I am working with a guy named Mac Mullins now to be able to get my own badge now. So I'm about to be able to just have my own badge so I don't have to go through the security clearance to the Oklahoma County Jail.
Right.
My next step is to be able to do DOC prison ministries, which is something that we're working right now. So, you know, 6 years ago, I was an inmate. 2 years ago, I was serving Governor Stitt at his table, you know, through our company.
Right.
Now I'm visiting the jail as a Gideon. I am working the neighborhood as a pastor now. People who have known me from the past are just, you know, sometimes they're just like, wow, you know, what happened? And I tell them just very simply, Jesus happened.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Jesus came into my life. I accepted the calling. I knew there was going to be a lot of challenges in the calling because of my past. But, you know, I believe if you are in Christ, you are a new creation.
Yeah.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new.
Yeah.
And I live by that every day. I know that God has created a new me.
Mm-hmm.
And my past has nothing to do with what God has in store for me in the future. You know, I believe Matthew 6:33 wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
If I put the kingdom of God first in his righteousness, everything else shall be added to me.
Yeah.
You know, I live by those two things. You know, those are the verses that, the Bible verses that speak to me deeply, because those are the things that are a challenge to me, you know. And you know, God has been extremely great to me. I married a beautiful wife who has been my partner in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
She is my constant, you know, schedule keeper. She keeps me in line, and she's like, you know, it's okay to give work this much time, but God needs this time too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have been very fortunate. We're in a predominantly neighborhood where my story is very resounding to a lot of people, because when I go knock on doors, some of the people that I used to know answer the doors and they say, What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm the Hispanic pastor here at Shields Boulevard. So,
yeah. You know,
God has done, you know, I'm a believer in the power of the Lord. I'm a believer that there is nothing God cannot do. God has shown me and continues to show me each and every day of his an amazing power and you know, all the doors that God can open for you in an instant. You know, we are, again, we came out, we built this company. It was something that my mom and I had thought about doing. We partnered together. We started Elite Staffing and Services. Mm-hmm. We are now the leading company in the hospitality industry.
Yeah,
we have the biggest contracts in the area. We did all the Governor Stitt's breakfast through the Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
all these things, you know, and God continues to work with us and opening all these doors.
You know, some things come to my mind as I hear your story. First of all, it's obvious that the Lord has shaped you with the ability to be an administrator. Mm-hmm. And even in your worst moments, you still had that. And that when God creates us, we are in his image, and it's meant to be for his glory.
Absolutely.
And not for our own honor. And so the Lord has redeemed you and restored you into a proper position with your ministry. Another thing is that those small compromises, you think it's a small thing, but it never is. Well, on the other hand, those small ministry outreach, those touches, just prayer and things, you know, you can see the thread of the Lord working through you before that guy came. And wow, your testimony. I'm sure that, you know, we could go on and on.
Yeah, we could get, you know, into more detail. But, you know, again, like you said, you know, there's so many things that happened. Looking back now, I realize that all things work together.
Right.
You know, all these things were working together. You know, sometimes when you're going through the storm and you're going through the trials, you just don't seem to understand. And, you know, there's times where, you know, I've given my church, and I, you know, we talk about the storms of life, and you know, how can all these things be working together for me? You know, how is it possible that I'm in the middle of the storm and you're telling me that things are working together for my good?
Right.
You know, and looking back now, I thank God for all the things that, you know, that happened in my life, because it shaped me to the person that I am today. And not only that, the ministry that God has put in our hearts is to go out and reach out people who have been in that same situation as I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you know, this is all for the glory and the honor of God. It's not
Amen.
For our own. God didn't change me for me.
Yeah.
He changed me for him.
Right.
You know, he didn't change me for my family, for my wife. He did this so I can bring him honor and glory. And, you know, and I remember, you know, where God has brought me from. And I'm thankful to him every day that, you know, sometimes I got to say, Lord, why me? Why did you choose me?
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's such a surreal moment for me to be able to stand and shake Governor Stitt's hands, or being able to go to the jail administrator and say, hey, you know, you're accepted to become part of the jail prison ministry. You know, when I look at those things, when I became a Gideon, the first Bible I ever read, it was just, you know, looking back and I'm thinking, wow, what an amazing God we serve, you know, and it just doesn't matter to him where you come from. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter anything.
Yeah.
And I tell guys all the time, I said, remember who I was and remember where I've been. If God can do this for me, he can certainly do this for you.
So, amen. Amen. So. Well, Pastor Ruiz is so such a important touching story of God's grace.
Yes.
God truly does set the captives free.
Yes.
And I thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And
it was
sharing
a pleasure.
Your testimony. We'll have to have you at another time.
Absolutely.
Ministry.
Maybe we can do the second part of the testimony.
Well, and I want to thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this conversation, you'll find more like it at our website at baptistmessenger.com. You can also find our podcast if you search for Baptist Messenger, wherever you download podcasts. I want to encourage you to get a free copy, a subscription to our print newspaper, The Baptist Messenger. Just go to baptistmessenger.com. You can fill out the information, and that will be sent to your home for free. You can also do that for any of your church members if you're one of the Oklahoma Baptists. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists. Advancing the gospel together.